What a blessing to have been here already this morning. I don't know if you realize it, but we've had three sermons already this morning, not two. We had a sermon on the church in the song service. Then we had a sermon on the Word of God and temptation. Then we had a sermon on speaking the truth in love. We've had three already today. How many more do you want? Well, we greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. I want to welcome the visitors also that are with us today. God bless you. I'm not sure why you're here. I don't know what your expectations are, but we just trust that God brought you here today and that He wants to bless you and meet your needs as well as bless us and meet our needs. And that's been our prayer for you before the service began. Well, I'd like to speak on another weapon this morning. Brother Aaron gave us one. I'd like to give another one. I guess it's the morning for weapons. I'd like to preach on the subject, and I got the title from a little plaque that is in many of our homes. So I thought, that's a good title to have, to enlighten our hearts so that when we see the little plaque, it means more. Prayer changes things. We have that at our house. How many of you have that at your house on the wall somewhere? Prayer changes things. How many of you seen it on the wall before? Okay, maybe you need to get one of those. Prayer changes things. And it does. Prayer is one of the most powerful forces that have been laid into the hands of God's people. Prayer. I mean, you stop and ponder it a little bit this morning. Think about some of the things that have been done just in simply in answer to a man or a woman's prayer or the prayers of God's people. Think about some of the things that have happened. Yea, mountains have moved in answer to prayer. Winds have changed their direction of blowing in answer to prayer. Fires have stopped burning in answer to prayer. Fogs have lifted in answers to prayer. Souls have been saved in answer to prayer. Yes, prayer changes things. That's not just a little ditty that we put on the wall that makes our house look like a Christian house, but it's a powerful statement. Prayer, it does change things. In James chapter 5 is where we want to begin reading here this morning. When Jesus was speaking to His disciples there in John chapter 15, He told them that if they would abide in Him and that His Word would abide in them, they could ask whatever they will and it would be done unto them. Now that's a powerful promise that Jesus made there in John chapter 15. In 1 John chapter 5, the Scripture says that if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we know that we have the petition that we desired of Him. That's a pretty powerful promise too, isn't it? Such a weapon that God has given to the people of God. Prayer. Prayer does change things. In James chapter 5, it's where we want to read. And verse 16, the Bible says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. And, you know, there are so many different ways that you can approach the Scriptures, and you just keep seeing new light every time you look at them. And so many times we kind of look at this that portion that I just read by itself, because we often quote it that way. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that you may be healed. And we stop right there. But the verse goes on. And I'm sure there's some people around here that have some things in their lives that could use some healing. But the verse goes on and it says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And that's all together in one verse. Look at the context of it. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Why? Because the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man changes much. That's what it's saying. Then it goes on to take us from our low level of living and takes us from our low level of believing God and says, talks about Elijah. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Quite an answer to prayer. How many of you this morning believe that? Let me see your hands. You believe that. Elijah did that, and it happened. Elijah prayed, and he prayed earnestly, and he was a man of like passions, just like you and I are, but he prayed earnestly, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. Awesome. And then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Beautiful verses for us. Prayer changes things. Elijah is a good example to every one of us that prayer changes things, isn't he? He looked around him, and he didn't like what he saw, and he saw that God's people had turned away from God, and he saw that the conditions were in very bad shape. He saw that the king had turned away from God. He saw that Jezebel had turned the people away from worshiping God and it led the people to worship false gods, and he knew that these dumb idols were dumb and they couldn't do a thing. He knew that. And he decided to change things. That's what he did. He decided, we're going to change things around here. This isn't right. And he began to pray, and I believe that he was motivated by God to pray these prayers, but he also had to be the one that said, I'm going to pray. And he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed. And God heard his prayer and shut up the heavens, and it quit raining. And one day turned into 1 week. And 1 week turned into 1 month. And 1 month turned into 12. And then another year. And another year. And then another 6 months after that. Before it rained again. I'm so glad God put that in the Bible, aren't you? Sometimes when we take a look at life circumstances, and we look around us and we see the way things are, and many times it's not the way we'd like it, or we have some mountain that seems like it won't move, or we have some river that we have to cross and we don't see how we're going to get across it, and we're facing things that we don't have answers to. I'm so glad that God put that in the Bible to motivate us and encourage us that prayer still does change things. So, we know the story, and I'm not going to go into a lot of the story this morning, but I think it's good for us to drop back in where he prays again. The prophets of Baal have been there. They've been jumping up and down. They've been screaming. They've been hollering. They've been cutting themselves. They've been doing everything they can to try to get Baal to bring fire down from heaven. Of course, we know, and Elijah knew, that Baal worship was nothing but devil worship, and he knew that the God of heaven sat on the throne of the universe and that he was in charge of everything. And this morning, brothers and sisters, he still sits on the throne of the universe and he's still in charge of everything.
Glory.
And Elijah knew that. So he let them go ahead and make their altar, and he let them make a fool out of themselves and jump around and dance and scream and holler, and he let them do all those things. And then it was his turn. And he built the altar. He said, put wood on the altar, and they did. And he said, put the sacrifice on the altar, and they did. And he said, now I want you to dig a trench around the altar, and they did. And he said, now pour water there. And they filled the trench up with water, and he said, go get some more water. And water was a pretty precious parcel in those days. Go get another bucket of water and dump it all over the altar. And I believe because he'd done his homework, after that, he just simply said, Lord, would you hear my prayer and send fire on this sacrifice? And God answered by fire. And we know the story how that he then, after that, killed all the prophets of Baal and told the king, you better make your way. You better make your way back to Jerusalem because there's going to be rain. And he went up to the mountain and he started to pray. And he prayed not one time, not two times, but he prayed seven times. He bowed himself and put his face between his knees and he bowed himself to the earth. And I believe that he prayed earnestly. He was one of those men, one of those righteous men. I believe he prayed effectual prayers. I believe he prayed fervent prayers, and his prayers availed. But they didn't avail right away. He prayed, and his servant went out and looked, and there was no sign of anything. And he came back and told him, and Elijah just continued to pray, and he looked again, and there was no sign, and not until the seventh time. And he said, there's just a little cloud out there about the size of a man's hand. And it rained. And it rained. Prayer that changes things. Probably most of you that are in this room this morning pray. But are you praying prayers that change things? That's the question. Prayer that changes things. That's what we need. Prayer that changes people. Prayer that changes hearts. Prayer that changes children. Prayer that changes circumstances. Prayer that moves mountains. Prayer that changes things. That's what we need. Everyone here prays. You pray your prayers. You have your devotions. You gather your families together. All of us pray. But what we need to do is pray prayers that change things. Isn't that what we need? Well, what kind of prayers change things? That's real clearly given here in the Scriptures. It says here in James, and the last part of verse 16, that effectual prayers change things. Fervent prayers change things. And prayers of a righteous man or a righteous woman change things. And then it goes on there and say that Elijah, he prayed earnestly. Those are the kind of prayers that change things. Those are the kind of prayers that when you see something and you look excuse me. You look at it and you see it and you realize that here's something that's not right, that needs to be changed. Here's a circumstance and we face them many times in our lives. We face something and we look at it and we say, now what can I do? And so many times it's things that our hands are really tied to. There's not much we can do. Oh, don't despair. If you find yourself in a situation facing something that you feel like your hands are tied and there's nothing you could do, you wish you could do something. If you could just get your hands on that situation and change it, you would, but you can't. That's when you need these kind of prayers. Effectual prayers. The word effectual in the Greek is energio. It's where we get our word energy. Amen. Energio. It's where we get our word energy. It means powerful, energizing, working prayers. Effectual prayers are prayers that work. Effectual prayers are prayers that have energy in them. Effectual prayers are prayers that have an effect when they are prayed. The word fervent means hot. It means boiling, fervent, something that's moving, something that's hot, something that's on fire. That's what fervent means. It means to strain or to stretch. Effectual fervent prayer. What does the word prayer here mean? Well, in this text here, prayer is not the prayer that we pray, maybe at family devotions, although I believe if you get a grasp of this message, it might change your family devotions. And maybe that's what we need. But the word prayer here means beggings, the supplications. And you get the picture of a beggar. And a beggar doesn't ask one time, you know that. If you see a beggar on the side of the street, a beggar is a beggar. He begs and begs and begs and begs. And that's what the word prayer here means. And a righteous man is one who is in right standing with God, who has a right life, and who is in right relationship with others. This is a righteous man that is speaking about here in this scripture. He's one who has his relationship with God clear. And number two, he's one who also has his life clear. He's a righteous man or a woman. And number three, he's one or she's one who has their relationships clear this way. Oh, look out for that one. Look out for that man. Look out for that woman. When they get a hold of this matter of effectual and fervent beggings before God, you look out for that one. And the devil does too, you can be sure of that. And the last word in the little text here is availeth. And that word avail means to prevail or to overcome or to get the job done. Result. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, it gets the job done. It prevails. You know, that word prevail, it's the same word that is used there in the book of Revelation where John was saying we needed somebody to open the book and loose the seals thereof and no man was found in heaven or earth and John even wept because he couldn't find anybody and all of a sudden, I think it was one of the elders there who said to John, don't weep. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, he hath prevailed. Well, there we get an idea what prevail means when we look at the context of that verse right there. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, he hath prevailed. Oh, he conquered. And that's what the word availeth much means. So if we could just paraphrase it a little bit here, here's what the verse is saying. The effectual, powerful, energizing, working, hot, boiling, stretching, straining prayer or beggings or supplications of a righteous man who walks with God and lives right with others prevails, overcomes, and changes things. That's what the verse is saying. And this morning, that's what God is saying to us. We sit here this morning. We're all in different places in our Christian life. I don't know what you face. You may not know what I face. But God knows exactly what each and every one of us face. And I think if we're all honest, we would all have to say, I need answers to prayers like that this morning. I think if all of us are honest, we would have to say that. And God answers those kind of prayers. They work. They avail much. They change things. Well, prevailing prayers are prayers that obtain the blessing. Anybody need a blessing this morning? Prevailing prayer, prayers that get the answer. You need an answer? They're prayers that get the answer. Prevailing prayers are prayers that get through. Prevailing prayer are prayers that move God. Prevailing prayers are prayers that affect the object. We need these kind of prayers in our homes. We need them in our own personal lives. We need them in our work situations. We need them with some of the decisions that we need to make. You see, brothers and sisters, that's the kind of prayers that we need to pray. You have a decision. You need to make a decision. Someone came to me recently and said, Brother, pray for me. I have a rough decision to make. I'm trying to decide if I should quit my job and move to another area of the country. Brother, you need my prayers. If that's a decision that you need to make, you need to pray prevailing prayers until you get an answer for that one. Someone said, Brother, pray for me. I'm considering a young lady for a wife. My brother, you need some of those kind of prayers. You need to hear from heaven. You need to seek the face of God till you hear the voice of God telling you, this is the way, walk ye in it. Yes, amen. Get the counsel of your parents. Get the counsel of wise leaders around you. But hear from heaven on that one. Yes. Young ladies alike. These are the kind of prayers we need to pray. But oh, so many times, and you know it's true. Just pray a little prayer. And lean on somebody else's counsel. No, don't just lean on somebody else's counsel. You hear from heaven. The fires are going to burn in your young married life. And the fires are going to burn as the days go by. And you need to know that you heard from heaven that this is to be my wife. This is to be my husband. Hear from heaven. Prevailing prayers are prayers that get answers. They get through. Well, what is a prevailing prayer? I'd like to note a few things here this morning. Prevailing prayer is a prayer that has a definite object. If we could just go back to the text here in James chapter 5 and note this, that a prevailing prayer is a prayer that has a definite object. Elijah had a definite object in mind. He wanted it to not rain. And he prayed specifically that it would not rain, and it did not rain for 3.5 years. A definite object. Something specific, not a general prayer. Prevailing prayers, prayers that change, prayers that move mountains are not general prayers. We know that, don't we? Prayers that move mountains are prayers with specific things in mind. God, I've got a mountain here that I can't move. Would you please move it for me? I've got a situation here that I don't have an answer to. Would you give me an answer to this, Lord? I've got a daughter. I've got a son who is not going in the right way. Lord, would you do something about this for me? Prayers that are specific. Elijah prayed a specific prayer. And God answered in a specific answer and stuffed up the heavens and it didn't rain anymore. Sometimes I think we're afraid to be specific. You know, if you get specific and then God doesn't answer, then you have to deal with that. What do you do then? What do you say then? Well, God didn't answer me. Why not? One of the most life-changing experiences you could ever go through is to need God to move a mountain and to not stop until God moves it. One of the most life-changing things you'll ever go through. Because it purifies. You have to say, Lord, why didn't you move this mountain yet? Elijah prayed for a revolution, and he got one. Daniel prayed for a revelation, and he got one. Nehemiah prayed for a restoration, and he got one. What do you need to pray for? Prevailing prayers, they have a definite object. What do you need? Secondly, prevailing prayer is prayer that's in the will of God. Oh, what a confidence, isn't it? Let's turn over there to that verse in 1 John chapter 5. And the exact word is used. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Prayer, prevailing prayer, is prayer that is in the will of God. What a confidence that puts within our soul when we begin to pray something that we know is the will of God, because it's in the Word of God. It's a revealed will of God because it's been revealed in the Word of God. And we pray for that and we ask God to do that. And we know, we have a confidence, it says here in 1 John. This is a confidence that we have. If we pray in the will of God, we know He hears us. And if we know He hears us, then we know we have the petition that we desire of Him. I'd just like to stretch you a little this morning. Stretch you into a prayer life that maybe you've not prayed before. Prevailing prayer is in the will of God, revealed by the Word of God, and yea, sometimes revealed by the Spirit of God. That this is the direction to go and that this is the way to pray. We go back to Elijah again and see this. That Elijah, he prayed in the will of God. And God answered his prayer. I'd like us also to notice that prevailing prayer is prayer with a deep desire. These aren't just general little prayers that are prayed. Oh Lord, bless the church today. Lord, bless my children today. Lord, guide me today. Help me today. No, we're not talking about those kind of prayers as we speak about these prayers that are mentioned in James chapter 5. We're talking about prayers that are prayed with a deep desire, a deep longing in the soul There's something about a prayer like that it's a burden. It's a longing. It's a prayer like Jacob prayed. I will not let thee go until you bless me. It's a prayer like that. It's a prayer like Moses prayed. Lord, blot my name out of the book. If you will not pardon these people, then blot my name out of the book. Prevailing prayers are prayers that are prayed with deep desire, like it says about our Lord Jesus there in the book of Hebrews, that He prayed with strong crying and tears. He prayed prayers with a deep desire in them. And many times, our prayers are not answered because we don't see the urgency of that which we're praying for. Yes, you can get up on Sunday morning and you can say, God, bless the service this morning. Or you can get up on Sunday morning and you can cry out to God with the depth of your soul, with a great desire, with a vehement desire, with a longing that goes from deep within you. You can cry out to God that He would bless the service this morning. You can do either one of those. But I can tell you this morning, and I think all of us would agree, we know which ones will bring the blessing down. Just like the old song says, pray, pray in the old time way, the way they used to pray, when they brought God's blessing down, the old time way. Recently, someone shared with me, a sister shared with me, or with my wife, I guess, her family's first visit to the fellowship here. It was years ago. We were still meeting in the basement over in New Holland. It was right in the middle of a revival that God was giving to us. And the sister said her first visit almost scared them from ever coming back, because they happened to look in the window as they walked in the door to come to church, and they looked down there in the window and they saw a bunch of people flat out on their faces begging God. And it scared them. They weren't used to seeing that. But brothers and sisters, that's how you move God. I don't understand all that. But I don't have to understand it. I just know what the Bible teaches. Effectual, fervent prayers change things. Do you have anything that needs to be changed? Prayers with a deep desire. My mind goes to the illustration of John Knox, who was a preacher in Scotland many, many years ago. He got so burdened for revival in Scotland, he used to go up on a hillside and pray. And he'd pray until he couldn't pray anymore. And then he'd go back to his work. And then he'd find himself again up there on that hillside looking out over a major city there. I don't know if it was Edinburgh. I don't remember the full story about it. But he would go up there and he would pray. And he was praying effectual prayers. And he was praying fervent prayers. And he was praying prayers that had a deep desire in them. And finally one night, as he was praying over the land of Scotland, he cried out to God with everything that was in him. And he said, God, give me Scotland or I die. And what he was saying was, Lord, would you send a revival to Scotland? If you don't do it, I think I'm going to die. That's a prayer with a deep desire in it. And revival broke out in Scotland. And Mary, Queen of Scotland, said, I fear the prayers of John Knox more than the armies of France. Hallelujah. I'm more afraid of John Knox than I am all the armies in France, because John Knox prayed.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. If you would like to listen to part two of this message, please press 1-4 now. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.